stand. It's good to have Skasha Thompson here as well. I think she stepped out, but she wasn't here just a minute ago. Nathan and Skasha are in the area. They'll be preaching for us in a few weeks, so glad to have them here. I just had you stand, didn't I? Turn your neighbor and tell them how good-looking they are, and happy Easter early, and I'm thankful that you're my brother, you're my sister, because I have no idea why I had you stand. You can go ahead and be seated. Oh, I had mentioned that I was going to cover a little bit tonight. I've kind of got some of this woven in. We had our yearly ministers conference at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, this past last week. And my wife and I, just so you know, the conference started on Tuesday evening, but we had to be up there Sunday afternoon because the district board meets ahead of time and just go over a number of points of business. And we were in a transition of a brother Putnam. Brother, I tell you, you know, sometimes I just wonder what wrong. Anybody ever just, I know I've asked this question before. Oh, Brother Putnam, after 17, 18 years of leading our district, had decided to step down. And so we had kind of a little bit of things that had to be taken care of. So we had to be there on Sunday afternoon to get ready for the week. But we had just a great, great conference. And Brother Harpole, I really didn't know who he was. And he did a great job preaching during the week, or the services that he preached. And a lot of these conferences you go to, it's a lot of really inspirational preaching. And I'm not against inspirational, evangelistic type preaching. But it felt really good to be able to go to a conference and be able to walk away, I guess I could say, with some tools that we can take back and we can use and utilize. And it was really just a great it was a lot about church structure, a lot about growth, a lot about processes and planning for growth. And I guess for myself, as it was so many confirmations that we are doing the right thing here at Calvary Gospel Church. And that's what I was so excited about, as you begin to listen to the man of God as he begins to take and he begins to speak, talks about the different structural pillars in a church. He talked about personnel, he talked about provision, talked about properties, programs, processes, and getting prepared for the mission that God has called his church to do. And I'm just excited about how God has lined all of this up, because Brother and Sister Spears were here earlier in the year, and end of January and in February, and they challenged us in what I would just look at as in a spiritual realm. And they challenged us to that we are in the process of stepping into another dimension with God. And when we look at what Brother and Sister Spears had shared with us, and then going to conference at what Brother Harpole had shared with us, it was like one was in the spiritual, and the other, if I could call it, was in the physical, more the physical side of church, the administrative side, if you wish. But it was merging the administrative side of a church with the spiritual side of the church, and how that you have to have both in order to have church growth. Now, we've talked a lot about church growth. We've had a lot of conversations and such with our leadership team. But I really believe that we here at Calvary Gospel Church, we are being set up by God for a great revival. A great revival. Yet, sometimes I wonder, Lord, why do you give a particular message at a particular time? But I want to talk about tonight just the urgency of now. The urgency of now. Because we are in the last days. Now, we can say and argue that, well, you know, what do you want to term as the last days and such? But I believe this with all my heart, that Jesus Christ is soon to appear. Whether that soon is next week, whether it's next month, it's next year, or it's in 2 years, or it's in 3 years. I don't really know. But one thing I do know is that he has commissioned us to do his work, to follow his will, and to build a church. And I'm afraid that sometimes, even among us here, that there can be some of us that are as the five wise virgins that are preparing their hearts, preparing their families, preparing their lives, preparing their ministries for revival. But then there are some of us that we are as the five foolish virgins, that we're content with where we are. We've achieved what we think we need to achieve, and that we're willing to just sit back and just ride this into the rapture. And that's a fear. You see, I'm afraid that some of us will sell out. Some of us, you use the term, cash it all in, before God is able to do in our lives what he has called us to do, and he's able to do in our lives before we grow tired, before we become weary and frustrated within ourselves. Because you see, we've said this before, that within ourselves, we're our own worst enemies. We have all of our failures. We have all of our frustrations. We get frustrated. We get tired. We grow weary. And we ask ourselves, what's the point? Why are we doing what we're doing? And I believe that God is saying, listen, if there ever was a time of urgency, if there ever was a time to get in and get involved, is now. It's now. I believe that some of us have become unwilling to pay the price because we're afraid of what it's going to cost us. And we settle. We settle in for a life of mediocrity. This may not be what you expected to come here tonight. We'll deal with Easter when we get into Friday night. But you see, this is the whole reason why we have Easter. Here at Calvary Gospel Church, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection every day of our lives. We celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate. I'm excited about what God is doing, and I'm excited about the souls that have been saved. But you see, as we get older, as we grow older, whether you're in your 20s, going into your 30s, or in your teens, going into your young 20s, and we all have dreams. We all have dreams and desires in our lives. Our theme this year is forward, stepping into the promise. And God has made promise after promise after promise at Calvary Gospel Church. And for the saints of Calvary Gospel Church, that's you and I. God has spoken to us in tongues interpretations and prophecies and evangelists that come and the fivefold ministry of preaching and teaching and pastors and prophets, evangelists. God has spoken to us. And sometimes as we begin to grow older, we grow older in God, in maturity, we grow older in age, that when we look at all of these dreams that we've had, maybe we've had dreams of a young man and we're struggling because we find that those dreams are harder and harder and harder to fit into the time that we think we have left. We have visions that God has given us, and at times those visions can become blurred and we begin to question those visions. Thus, we begin to lose our sense of urgency. I can't help but think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, 37 through 39, when he was speaking, but as the days of Noah were. Now we can look at this in different ways. As the days of Noah were, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They had 120 years of preaching by Noah, preaching, repent ye, repent ye. All they had to do then was just repent. All they had to do is say, I'm sorry, God, can I get in the boat? And yet it was Noah, his wife, his sons, and their daughters, eight total, got into the ark. I can't imagine how Noah felt preaching perhaps his very last message, not knowing if it was his last message. And as the ark became more completed and the animals began to come two by two and all the provisions were in the ark, that a sense of urgency came over Noah as he began to preach. But here Jesus is saying in Matthew 24, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It's possible that we can be in imminent danger without any knowledge of it. I watched a video clip, and it was so very unique. It was a couple guys that were camping. And this was fairly recent, and they were camping, and you could tell that the title of the little video was "What's Wrong with This Picture?" And you can see as they're camping there that up in the mountains you can see thunder and lightning way off in the distance, Brother Hawk. You can tell that there's a storm going on in the mountains, and yet their camp is set up in a very nice area. It's a nice level area. You don't really get the full understanding of what's about to happen until the camera begins to pan away. And as it begins to pan away, you can see this wall of debris and water off in the distance as it gets closer and closer and closer to their campsite. You see, they were in imminent danger. And for a time, they didn't have any knowledge of it, and there was no sense of urgency. And you watch as the flood gets closer and closer, that they end up running to high ground, but all of their provisions, everything they have, is all washed away. You see, we can be in danger without even the knowledge of it. And any delay that we make in our lives, it can be deadly. When we look at the word urgent, titling this Urgency of Now, we look at the word urgent. It comes from an old Latin word meaning to urge. It means that an event is occurring that is so compelling that it requires immediate attention. I believe that the day and age that we live in, the world that we live in, church, there are events that are occurring around us that needs immediate attention of the church. It's not like God isn't giving us any fair warning about what's to happen, and it's about to happen very soon upon the face of this earth. We can look into the heavens. We can look all around us. We can read in the newspaper. If you still get a newspaper, you can read on your news sources, on your phone, your laptop, your notepad, whatever you read. And all around us every day there are signs. God is trying to tell us, church, now is an urgent moment. There's no more urgency than right now. And to hesitate, we feel for whatever reason that we're always going to have tomorrow, but there will be some moment when you will not have a tomorrow. There will be that moment in my life that will be my last moment. And there will be no tomorrow. You see, we look at our world that we live in, and our society has shrugged off religion. We don't need religion. We don't need God in our schools. That's why we don't have a gun problem. We got a sin problem. We got a hatred problem. We got a bitterness problem. We got a problem that no matter what you ban, is going to fix it. Because we have foolishly, as a nation, as a people, as churches, we foolishly walked away from the Word of God, and we've watered it down to be whatever we want it to be. There's no more authority left in the Word of God. We've done this to ourselves. And there's an urgency where God is saying, please, church, please, 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 wake yourselves up. It's not just the world that's lost its track. It's not just the world that's gone astray. The church has lost its place. It's lost track. It's lost its purpose. It no longer serves the purpose that it once served. It no longer has the value that it once had in our lives. Listen, I'm an advocate for studying the Bible. We need to know the Word of God. I'm an advocate for personal devotions. I'm an advocate for those quiet times. It's important to go to church. But I believe that we need to surround ourselves with godly friends and godly influences, but there can be a danger in that as well. Because we can surround ourselves with godly people that have lost their purpose and their vision. And we can become so comfortable in our Christian routines that we grow content. And that contentment is followed by complacency. As we live from day to day, as time passes, generations come and generations go, and people are born into this world and people die into this world. But the one thing that ties all of humanity together, no matter what nationality you are, no matter what race you are, what language you speak, how old you are, and social status, one thing ties all of humanity together, and that is death. Death will come to us all, and death doesn't care who you are or what you have. Death has not changed. As Bishop has told us many, many times, that one out of one will die. It's 100% death rate for every generation that has come before us. Every nation, every race, every level of social statutes, death will come to us all. Unless the rapture takes place first. When you think about this, we think about our world and we wonder why our world is in the mess that we are in. Do you realize that about every 100 years, give or take, there's an entire personnel change on this planet. You ever think about that? Every 100 years, if you were to draw a line right now, 100 years from now, 99.999% of this planet will be gone. And all of the values and everything that we are supposed to be able to teaching and passing on from generation to generation to generation gets lost. Because we lose humanity. As a whole, we've lost our purpose. We've lost our vision. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once. But after this, the judgment. You see, death has not changed. And if death has not changed, then the urgency of salvation has not changed. But I'm not so sure, and I will shoulder the blame for this, I'm not so sure that as a church that we really believe that the urgency of salvation hasn't changed. You see, when Paul the apostle, when he was talking to the governor Felix in Acts chapter 24, he desperately, urgently I can see Paul as he's talking to the governor, knowing that it will probably be his very last opportunity to ever talk to the man about his soul. And as Governor Felix is literally hanging there on that side of the cliff, and Paul is reaching down to try to pull him out of the flames of hell, and he begins to talk to him, and he reasoned with him, desperately discussed with Felix. Felix was afraid, and he answers, "Go away for now. I'm listening to you, Paul, but go away for now, because right now is really not a convenient time. When the time is more convenient, when the season is more convenient, then, Paul, I will summons you." How many times have we sat here in our pews and the word goes forth and we argue with God that, you know what, God, I feel you tugging on my heart tonight, but now is really not a good time. We have to understand something, church, that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Did you know you can tell, you can backslide and go to hell sitting on a church pew, an apostolic Pentecostal church pew? I love every one of you here. I don't want you to feel like I'm being harsh tonight, because I know exactly where some of you are sitting, because I sat there week after week and month after month, lost, frustrated, angry, because I wouldn't listen to God and I refused to commit my life to Him because I was afraid of what it was going to cost me. You know, God can take everything you have away. Did you know that? Job's not the only one that's lost everything. He was just the only one that was able to write a book about it and get it put in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 2, Paul writes in the second letter to the church at Corinth, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succorned thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, right now, right today is the day of salvation. See, but we have an enemy. And that enemy, if I could just call it, let's just call that enemy procrastination. You know, procrastination is a thief that steals away not only our time, but procrastination will steal away our hopes. It will steal away our dreams. It will steal away our visions. And most vital to us, procrastination will steal away our soul. Right now, today, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. If God is calling you into a higher dimension, a higher level in Him, today is the day to say, "God, I will commit to that today, tonight. I can't wait for the message to get over. I've got to do it now." There needs to be a sense of urgency. When we look in Isaiah, in his book, chapter 55, 6, says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." You see, when we look at the return of Jesus Christ, some things have not changed. I guess I could say, except in one major way, that we're much closer now than when He said, "I'm going away, but I'll be coming back." We're 2,000 plus years closer to the promise that He left us. It's closer now than it has ever been. Philippians 4, 5 tells us the Lord is at hand. Jesus says in Matthew 24, 42, "To watch, therefore, For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We don't know! Church, I don't know if you can just grasp this, but we are up against a deadline that we have no idea when it is. We have no idea! This could be, maybe, and I don't want to be selfish, but I hope it isn't. Because there's far too many souls that are going to burn in hell if this is the last day. Peter tells us in his short book, 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's why Scripture tells us to stay alert and be vigilant. It also tells us to be strong and of good courage. Let me just ask you a simple question tonight. What would our today be like if we knew Jesus was coming tomorrow? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? Just think about that for a minute. What would this service right here tonight be like if we knew that Jesus Christ was coming tomorrow at noon? If we knew that, how long would the line be for people to get in here and to settle their soul with eternity? How would we react? What would we do different? You see, I just feel there's such a sense of urgency in my spirit tonight. I'm frustrated by my own shortcomings. I'm frustrated at times by my own mistakes and my own failures due to the fact that sometimes it's more often than I like it to be. I get frustrated, and sometimes I'm frustrated because I just waste time being frustrated. It's like you're caught, you're stuck in that clay, and you've got all wheels engaged, and the more you spin, the deeper you dig. You can dig yourself in so deep you can't get out unless you have other help. And yet, time and time again, we just spin our wheels and we waste our time. And it's time, church, that we can never, ever, ever get back. I read a story today, and I don't know if it was true or not. I'm just assuming that it was, and this lady was talking about how she had taken her phone, her son's cell phone, he was like 10 or 11 years old, away from him because he wasn't getting his homework done. So she took his phone away, and they were leaving to go somewhere, and she went out to get in the car, and he wasn't coming out, so she beeps the horn, and finally he comes out, and they go do whatever they have to do. A few hours later, they return back home, and she returns back in, and her house is totally trashed. Junk scattered and all this and that, found out that it was her son because he was angry because his phone had been taken away. That's time, folks, that we'll never, ever, ever get back. Never get back. You see, how would I live today if I knew that Jesus Christ was coming back tomorrow? How would I live today if I knew he was coming back within a week or 2 weeks or within a month? What would I do different if I knew that Jesus Christ was coming back in 1 year? Let me ask you something. What would you do as a comparison if you knew that you were going to die 1 year from today? How would you live your life? Would you spend hours and hours and hours on the internet? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go before God, and you're going to make sure that every day your life is ready to go. You're going to make sure you live your life as perfect as you can live it. And you're going to live that time with absolutely no regret. You see, church, we don't know how much time we have. You see, I'm just afraid that we're going to miss out on what God has called us to do simply because we've lost the sense of urgency. First, we got to be careful. We got to be careful how we waste our time. I understand that we all need periods of rest. I'm not telling you that taking a Sunday afternoon nap is a waste of time. I think it's divine plan. God worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Even God says, I'm going to take a break from all this creative power. I'm worn out. I'm going to rest. And he rested. So, but we don't need, there's a difference between getting proper rest and just being lazy at rest. Some people are just lazy at rest. See, the Bible tells us in Psalms 90, verse 12, as well as in Ephesians 5, 16, that we must be careful. We have to be careful because you know what? We may not realize it. We may not accept the fact, but God is telling us, listen, your days are numbered. We only have so many days, and what we do with that time, we have to number our days, and we have to redeem the time. And we must realize quickly that time moves so very quickly. I don't know about you, but I just feel like my life, time, has just accelerated. Anybody here, the days just drag by? They just drag by hour. You know what? You know why they drag by? Because you're not doing anything productive with your time. Think about that for a minute. They drag by because you're lazy and you don't do anything. Just a thought. So Jesus says, and he tells us, as long as it is day, we must do the work for him who sent me. He says, because night is coming, but no man can work. You see, one thing we have to beware of, church, and I want you to write this down. We have to beware of the sedative of satisfaction. Because you see, I think this is what Brother Scott Jacobs was trying to get through to us. You see, we can get so comfortable in our world, and we can't become too comfortable in this world, and we can't let a settled Christian routine diminish our excitement for salvation and diminish our passion for serving God. We've got to challenge ourselves every day and ask God to stir up my heart, God. Stir up my heart. If I hate my neighbor, stir it up to the point that I'm so convicted I have to love him. Stir it up, God. Stir it up within me. That when I see this community and I see this city, that instead of weeping because I'm angry, that I'm weeping because my heart is so heavy. God, we can't become caught up in satisfaction. You see, God's people, we always need to have a sense of urgency. Now understand, when I say a sense of urgency, I'm not saying that everywhere we go, we have to go full blast. You're going to get a lot of speeding tickets, okay? You see, when we look at Paul's second epistle to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. So that means if you're called to preach and you're asked to preach and you're on the schedule, you need to be instant in season. But if God puts you in a place that you're not called to preach, that you need to be ready to preach out of season. That means you're ready to preach in your comfort zone and be ready to preach out of your comfort zone. And he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort all with all long suffering and doctrine. He's basically telling young Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, whatever you do, Timothy, please remember this one little thing. Never, ever, ever lose your sense of urgency. And church, I'm just going to tell you that sometimes we need to just forget about the new dimension that God is leading us to. All of this is worthless. All of the miracles that God is desiring to do in and through us, all of this is worthless. All of it means absolutely nothing if we forget our purpose and we forget our sense of mission. And we cannot afford to slowly drift into a pattern of being just another Christian denomination or just another. Listen, I want us to go from a good church to a great church to an awesome church, because God is not just good. God is not just great. God is unspeakably awesome. And that needs to reflect. That needs to reflect in His church. Am I wrong about that? Are we not a reflection of Him? You see, spiritual satisfaction oftentimes will lead us as well as breed within us spiritual indifference. You know that? Thank you, Brother Rossing. That is right. Satisfaction, complacency, and indifference will slowly destroy our sense of purpose, our sense of value, our sense of mission, and our sense of urgency. We read in 1 Samuel 21:8, in David's day, the king's business. If you were on the king's business, listen, you got precedence. It was urgent. If the king summoned you, you didn't take your time getting there. If you were to deliver a message from the king and it was an urgent message, you didn't take your time getting that message from the king's throne room to wherever that message needed to go. The king's business, as translated in this verse, was urgent. It means pressing. It means calling for immediate action. A king's business is different from the business of an ordinary individual. If the president says, I want this done ASAP, that usually means a whole lot more than if your son comes up to you or your child comes up to you and says they want a peanut butter sandwich. They don't carry the same weight that the president would carry when it's ASAP. When your son comes up and says, Mommy, I need a peanut butter sandwich ASAP, you do exactly what you did right now. Like, are you serious with me? I'll show you what ASAP means. You see, we need to understand that we are doing and involved in the king's business. So when God says to prepare, He means now. When God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark, Noah didn't negotiate with God and say, God, I got this vacation planned over in the French Riviera. It's going to be a six-month vacation. I'll take care of it when I get back. God says, no, Noah, when I say now, I mean now. That means you go out tomorrow, and whatever you got to do, you got to get enough gopher wood to build that boat. So either you cut it down, chop it down, you negotiate, barter, whatever you got to do. You get the wood here because there's a flood coming, and I got a date when that flood's coming. And if you ain't ready, you ain't going. We're about the king's business. And I'm sorry, but our business is much different than other business. I know we all have to work jobs, so don't cop an attitude in your head now that says, well, my job's important. Your job will not save your soul. Your job is not more valuable than your soul. Your soul is the most important, most valuable commodity, whatever a soul actually is. I don't know if it's a commodity. I don't know what you'd describe it as. It's not an appliance. I know that. It's the most valuable thing. We'll call it a thing. How's that? That'll cover everything, right? It's a thing. Repairman calls and says, what's broken? Well, it's this thing. That means it covers everything. Our soul is the most valuable thing we'll ever have, that we'll ever possess. You see, our message is different. It's an urgent message. The acceptance or rejection of our life or death message, it carries with it eternal implications. That's why when we have services and people come to the altar, you may say, well, I've never seen them before, but they really don't seem, so maybe I'll just catch them next time. There may never be a next time. Do you think for 1 minute, do you think 1 minute that the beginning of this week that those families that lost their two sons were planning on having a funeral for them by the end of the week? No. Because we don't ever think that way. We don't want to think that way. But yet that's how life is. And herein lies our greatest urgency of our task, because our commission is different. Jesus commanded us, his church, he says, go ye. Go, Calvary Gospel Church, into all the world and preach my gospel, my good news. Preach the Easter story. Preach my death. Preach the burial. Preach my resurrection. Preach salvation. We know it. Preach it. That's what he commanded us to do. And we can't afford any longer to spin our wheels fussing over things that have absolutely no eternal significance. And don't put doctrine in there. I said eternal significance. That means it doesn't matter what kind of toilet paper we have in the men's or ladies' bathroom. Use what's in there. But some people, they got to make an issue out of everything. You know, I've heard this said, and I'll just throw this in for good measure. The issue is never the issue. Control is always the issue. Write that one down. That might take you some places. The issue is never the issue. Control is the issue. All right? Revelations 14:6. John writes, he tells us that the church is that every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people are going to be gathered around the throne. I'm so thankful we had Brother John from India. We took up an offering for him, and the offering the day of wasn't real a large offering, but it was a very good offering. But as the week progressed, by the end of the week, we had over $10,000 turned in for India. And I thank God for that. But you know what troubles me sometimes is that we're going to sit here and we're going to say, well, we just saved a bunch of orphans in India and we just commissioned a bunch of couples to go reach India. So I'm just going to be one that gives so they can go, and I'm not going to do anything other than give. But you see, Jesus told all of us, go, go. You see, God didn't call Brother John to come here to Madison and to win Madison. He called us. He called us. And we have no more time to waste. And we dare not settle down as though we had weeks and weeks and months and years to do the urgent work that God has entrusted us to do in this last hour that we live in. Paul's message to the young Timothy centuries ago, it's a divine directive at this very hour that every one of us workers all across the world, not just here in Madison, but all across the world, we never, ever, ever lose our sense of urgency. Now, here at Calvary Gospel Church, I have to say over the last 4 months, we've spent a lot of time working and planning and reorganizing our church for future growth. This is where I was so excited as we went to our conference, because Brother Harpole talked about that. You'd have to you can go online, you can go to the district website, you can get the CDs, DVDs, however you want to listen to it, you can get that. I'm not going to cover a lot of that tonight, but I was really excited about here at Calvary Gospel Church what was unfolding. Because we have a tremendous leadership team here at Calvary Gospel Church. Our bishop has spent 42 plus years of his life building us a foundation, helping build a foundation. We have great saints of God here that have been in this church, have been faithful in this church, that have taught me, some of you, Sunday school, and have been our Sunday school teachers, that are still in the church today, faithful, doing a work for God. And I appreciate that, and I'm so forever indebted to all of you. But you see, just as Moses couldn't take Israel to the promised land, for whatever reason, I talked with Brother Booker about this. I said, Brother Booker, I don't know why. God, you know, you're asking why God, why me, God? Why did you not just have Bishop Putnam finish? Because God says, you know what, his time is over. We're going to another era. It's going to require somebody that has more energy, somebody that has more. And we have to understand that. If you're 80 years old here today, I don't have to convince you that you don't have the energy you had when you were 50. Okay? If you're 50 years old, I don't have to tell you you don't have the energy when you were 20. I struggle with that. I fight with that. But I have to live with that. And I have to understand that whatever God has called me to do, he's going to give me the mustard to get it done. Otherwise, he wouldn't have called me. And God is calling a younger generation in this church to put away all of your foolish things. Stop doing some of the things you're doing. Refocus yourself on God, because I'm coming soon and you're going to lose it anyway. And I put myself in that category too. You see, we have to have an urgency. So we developed this plan, and I was very excited about it. I put a list, and many of you are on that list, and you don't even know it yet, but God's got a plan for you, because God has laid you on my heart. He wants to raise you up to be a young man, a young woman in ministry, and God wants to use you in ways that would blow your mind. But all we have to do is say no, and God will say, okay, I don't have time. Time is no longer a luxury, folks. God doesn't have time either. And the closer we get to that infinite deadline that we have no idea where it's at, God is going to say, listen, I know when the deadline is. You don't. I know how much time we have. You don't. I'm calling you. You won't go. I'm going to move on to someone else. I don't have time. That's where we are. So we have this whole plan, and I'm all excited about this. And literally within a week, everything starts to fall apart. And I'm like, God, why? We planned, we worked. But you know what? The amazing thing about this is, and I shared this, you know, God took something that was supposed to take 2 years to happen and literally compacted it in to just a few weeks. You know why I feel God did that? Because God is saying, you don't have 2 years to do this. The church board voted Monday night to put Phil Demas on full time as one of our pastors. You see, I got to look at this, and I'm just going to get, if I hope everyone's okay with this. I got to look at this and say, God's calling Brother and Sister Mackey to another field of labor. I don't have a problem with that. I can't save his soul. God saves his soul. I'm just a under-shepherd for a specific amount of time. I believe God sent them here because whatever they needed here, they're going to take back. That's what God does sometimes, you know. He'll send us places to get things. He took Philip and sent him to an Ethiopian eunuch so Ethiopia could have the word of God. He sent a man from a revival to talk to one person that in turn turned a whole nation upside down for Jesus Christ. God just works that way. Sometimes it messes with my plan, but that's how he decides to work. God has called other people to other fields, and we're going to have some shifts that are going to take place. But what I found out in all of this, we're talking about Pastor Seidel shifting from Vosis to Calvary in a two-year shift, and for whatever reason, Brother Fabian was told that he's losing his job, and we're trying to figure out how are we going to make all of this work, and all of us, it's just like in one swoop, God comes in, and he takes a timeline of 2 years and just, boom, crams it all the way up in just literally a matter of weeks. You know why God is doing that? I argued with God and I said, God, why are you rearranging our chessboard? Why are you messing this up? God says, you don't have time, Roy. You don't have time. What you need to do and what needs to be done, it needs to be done now. It can't wait for 2 years. In 2 years, it could all be over. And you're still trying to figure out where to shuffle people. I got it in control. These guys, they answer to me. I'm the one that calls them. I'm the one that positions them. I'm the one that repositions them. And I have a purpose in all of this. And I'm going to fulfill my purpose because it's a divine purpose. Whether you know it or not, Roy, you're part of that chessboard. You're a piece on that. I can move you wherever I want to move you to, so don't get too smart with me. Don't we just hate that when God does that to us? He moved up a timeline. You see, we must prepare, church. We must plan. And we must take action. And urgency must characterize our planning. We can't plan as if we have eternity. We must have a divine urgency in our planning for the future of God's work. What did Jesus say? And I'm running out of time, and I'm going to stop at this point. We're going to finish this up. This is actually going to go on for two more Wednesday nights, okay? So you can go ahead and stand. Our musicians can come. Jesus spoke. I live out in the country. And I love living out in the country. I really do. And it's not that I don't like the city. They don't have Menards and Woodmans and stuff in the country. They don't have a Culver's in the country. The city's important too, all right? Jesus says, we can have fun and be serious at the same time, can't we? So I live in the country, and I watch the farmers right now. Man, it stinks around our house. Just being honest with you. It stinks bad. Because when the wind blows from the west, the north, or the northwest, or the southwest, we've got dairy farms their farmers are out there right now, and they are spreading poo everywhere. And if you're up early in the morning and you get the early AM spread, behind that manure spreader is just lines of turkeys getting a hot lunch, courtesy of the farmers. But you see, every now and then the wind shifts and it blows real strong out of the east. Man, it's rough when the wind blows out of the east, Brother James, because east of us we have a couple hog farms. I'm puzzled by this because this morning Sister Brittany Waters made breakfast, and she made, I could smell the bacon. I don't know how pigs can stink so bad, but bacon smells so good, Brother James. Just as great is the mystery of holiness and godliness, I think great is the mystery of pig stink and bacon. I can't figure that out. But you see, I know the season's changing. Because I can smell it in the air. After they're done spreading all of their winter stockpile of manure, next thing I'll see is we'll be seeing big, huge four-wheel drive tractors with duals all the way around with big, huge plows. They'll be out there plowing the fields. And then the season of plowing will be over, and then they will come in and they will begin to plant those fields. But the farmer knows that when he puts that corn in the ground in late April, early May, that sometime late September, early October, there's a harvest that's going to be waiting. He doesn't have to anticipate if it's going to happen, if it's not going to happen. He knows that when he puts that seed in the ground, that in 4 months, he's going to have to go out there and take that harvest. He's going to have to reap that harvest. And Jesus knew that. When he stood there that day, John chapter 4, verse 35, he says, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." He's asking them a question. He says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." This is a challenge I want to give to you tonight. Because we could sit here and say, "Pastor Roy, we still have some time yet because the harvest is coming in 4 months." But what's Jesus says? He says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields." What do you see out there, Brother James? You see a farmer breaking up the soil, getting ready to plant the seed? Jesus says, "No, Sister Mackie, the fields are white already." He's not talking about corn here, in case you haven't figured that out. He's talking about souls. He says, "Listen, church. There comes a time when all of your planning, you have to plan. We need to plan. We have to take care of the harvest. There's nothing wrong with planning, but there comes a time when you have to be able to take and shift and say, we got to stop planning and we got to start harvesting. Because right now is a season of harvest. And God has called every last one of them. Every last one of us into the harvest fields. It's not just our evangelism team's responsibility. We send Brother Thomas and a team of people to Stoughton, but it's not just Brother Thomas's and those few people we send to Stoughton's responsibility to win all of the souls. It's all of our responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. Now, urgency. We have to be ready, church. We have to feel that sense of urgency. So I want to open up this area for you to come down here tonight and pray. We have a city, we have a country, we have a nation. We have a world that's literally burning itself up. And it is so ripe. It is so ready. We've got to step up, church. We've got to step up. We have to be vigorous. We have to step into what God is calling to do. He's called us to be harvesters. He's called us to be harvesters. And He's given us a time. He's given us space. And we must seize this moment so we can step into our God-called divine destiny. Yeah.